Today, here on Cincy Business Talk with Mike Roth, Cincinnati's most experienced Sandler trainer. We'll be talking to business leaders about how they have grown their businesses and people. We discuss new strategies, tactics, and philosophies which lead to positive growth in our marketplace. Our program is sponsored by Sandler Training by Roth & Associates. Each week, we'll talk with our best Cincinnati area top executives about their tools and insights. Our regular listeners will be given the edge that will help them win in a competitive environment which we live. Simple solutions to complex problems, which challenge all of us, are rarely correct. We will address complex problems or opportunities with appropriate solutions. If you have questions or comments, contact Mike at mikeroth@rothconsulting.net or call Mike at 513-753-9400. Now your host, Cincinnati's most experienced Sandler trainer, Mike Roth.
Thanks, Scott. This is Mike Roth. I'm here today with the two managing partners of Emerge Technologies, Jesse Kegley and Richard Brown. Thanks for joining us, guys.
Thank you, Mike.
Thanks, Mike.
Good. Before we dig deeply into this, what I'm going to do is tell everyone what's coming up next. We have a quick change in tomorrow's show. Tomorrow we're going to have Don Bach from Minuteman Press. He's going to be talking about some of the latest new technologies in printing. Next week we're going to have Dave Rocket from Omega Material Handling. And on Friday, we're going to have Craig Heldman from Hobson's. They're the company that does educational work over the internet for colleges and school districts. The following week, on December 20th, we're going to have a really interesting guy named Wolf Olson. Wolf owns and operates a company called Freelance Commercial Diving, and he dives into some terrible places that you'll hear about, but including the Ohio River. When a car falls in, they call him in to get the car out. He's an ex-Navy SEAL. And then on Friday the 21st, we're going to have John Melvin from the Small Business Development Center here in Claremont County. Let's see, other announcements that we should talk about. Those of you who are Sandler clients or want to find out more about Sandler, the Sandler Client Summit is in Orlando on February 14th. It's called No Guts, No Gain. The $100 discount is still good through the end of the year. You can go to clientsummit2013.sandler.com for the full details. This is the second conference. There are expected to be about 1,000 people there. January 30th is our next cold call camp here. And one of the interesting side notes for the No Guts, No Gain Client Summit in Florida is the keynote speaker. Sandler usually doesn't bring in an outsider. This year they're bringing in a fellow named Brian Frank, who's the head of global sales operations of a little company called LinkedIn, and he's going to be giving us some tips and insights on how to use LinkedIn in sales. So that should be a great conference, and if you're a client, you can go to our website and make sure you take a look at the balance of December and January calendars. Okay. Now, let's talk a little bit about Richard and Jesse. Richard's been the managing partner with Emerge since the company was founded in 2006. When he joined the firm, he brought extensive professional services management and Cisco infrastructure expertise. Were you a Cisco engineer or a Cisco salesman?
Yeah, Cisco engineering was the background that I had and brought to Emerge, but certainly in any business, we're always looking for opportunities and selling, so it was a little bit of both.
Okay, good. Since Sandler's trained a few people over at Cisco, even in this market. Since 2006, Emerge has grown by leaps and bounds from a small boutique IT player to a regional force in delivering IT solutions to all SMB. Small business units, and mid-market and enterprise customers. Emerge corporate headquarters is located in Erlanger, Kentucky, and it has a branch office in Louisville, Kentucky. I guess it's too long a drive. How many employees do you guys have now?
We're coming up on 50. We're probably at 46, 47 mark.
Really? That's
getting
pretty
closer
good.
Every day.
And how many employees are down in Louisville?
There's three folks that are located down there permanently, and obviously other folks traveling as necessary.
Okay. And you provide solutions in Kentucky, Ohio, Indiana, and Pennsylvania. That's pretty far away.
Yep. So Emerge certainly can reach out with some resources and partnerships. There's a lot of opportunity out there in the market. Technology is a very tight-knit community, and you know, we certainly find opportunities all over the place.
Now, I've heard that you're well-known for United Communications, data center networking, data center virtualization, and storage technologies. In joining Emerge, Rich, you brought over 10 years of networking infrastructure with Cisco, leadership experience with large Cisco VAR, value-added reseller environment, and you had experience in business operations, sales, and management, invaluable in making Emerge successful today. Rich is a, and here in San Luis, we hate these buzzwords and three-letter acronyms and four-letter acronyms that no one knows except you, right. And I've already hit one. What is a CCIE?
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of the masters from a Cisco networking standpoint. So Cisco puts out some very very detailed and very difficult training programs to ensure that the folks that manage and work on their networks really are world-class, and it's one of their top-level certifications just to ensure that what we're providing to our customers is going to take care of their environments and ensure they don't have issues.
Oh, that's good. That's good. Sandler's actually noticed the same problem with salespeople. For us, people would say, oh, yeah, I was Sandler trained 10 years ago, and they think that means that they know what they're doing, and that means 10 years ago they went to an 8-hour class, and they can barely remember what the Sandler submarine looked like, no less what was in it. So Sandler actually is introducing this month a certification program for sales professionals and management professionals, and they're going to be four levels, bronze, silver, gold, and master level. And in December, we're rolling out the bronze level certifications, and it'll be separate certifications in sales and sales management. And there'll also be certifications in some of the specialty courses like that Sandler offers, like networking or no guts, no gain.
Yeah, Cisco's good enough to make you retake part of the test every 2 years to ensure that you're sharp on your skills. So certainly I don't get away with taking the test 10 years ago and not having to touch it since then.
Well, you guys in the technology world, everything changes, it seems like, every 6 months. I'm not sure it lasts that long.
All right.
And, Jesse, let me tell the folks a little bit about your background. You've been with the company since the beginning, so you guys were the two founders.
Pretty much. The organization was started as really an audiovisual focus, and that's a part of what Emerge does today. At that time, the industry was really converging audio and video with data on the network, mm-hmm. and that was really the premise of us coming together and creating that solution-based company to address that opportunity in the market.
So you guys still do things like high-end expensive boardrooms?
We do. We do conference rooms, education technology, video conferencing solutions as one of our practices.
Mm-hmm. Have you ever been out to see the conference room over at LSI?
Have not, actually.
Well, get Bob Reedy to bring you out there.
We'll give him a call.
You know, I'm sure that thing cost well more than $1 million, and he's got a LED TV screen, which is like unbelievable.
It's pretty fun technology to work with.
Oh, yeah, yeah, and the sound systems and all that stuff. Let's see, your background, Jesse. Before you got to Emerge, what were you doing?
I was working at a large VAR here in Cincinnati for about 6 years, five years. Prior to that, I worked with a technology company out in Kansas City called Alexander Open Systems and helped them start a network operations center. And that was a good 11, 12 years ago.
So okay, so network operations center means NOC.
NOC, that's right.
I've heard people say NOC in your trade, but never find the actual meaning.
Sure.
And that throws people off. One of your areas is IT network architecture?
Yes, I did work in a technical capacity as an architect for Microsoft and Cisco Technologies prior to coming into Emerge, and I brought some of that capacity to Emerge, absolutely.
But Emerge was actually founded in 2004 for this resale of IT products, and you two guys bought into it in 2006?
Yes.
Okay. In your company, what type of people do you have to make up these 50-odd employees?
Awesome people.
Awesome.
Yeah. The best. I would say the best.
Mm-hmm. Really?
Certainly. Yeah. And you know, the folks that that have come to work for us over the years, many of them we've known from prior organizations, prior lives, and even childhood friends. And so those folks, you know, we're very, very trusting in them, and they just, they're amazing people for the organization and take great care of the customers and really stand behind everything that Emerge does. One of the main things that is important to us as Emerge is ensuring that we take care of the people that work for us, and that's a core focus of ours. Really, it's part of the culture and ingrained in what we do every day.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Why don't you tell the folks how you guys go to market?
Sure. You know, clearly in our industry, we are interested in really becoming a trusted advisor to our customer. There are folks out there that work in a transaction-based motivation where they're interested in transacting IT product. They're interested in transacting technology, and we're certainly capable in that, but ultimately our measure of success with a customer is, do we have a trusted advisor long relationship with them?
I'm glad you brought that term up. Have you actually read the book Trusted Advisor?
Have not.
Ah.
Who's the author?
I'll show you a copy in the other room.
Okay.
I recommend it to all of our people because it really is a veiled copy of what we teach in Sandler. But there's a lot of truth in that book, Trusted Advisor. If you haven't read it, you should. We'll take a look at it.
We'll check it out. The other piece is positioning technical expertise. We work with a lot of technology, and it's technology that exists in almost every business.
Mm-hmm.
We're in somewhat of a competitive landscape. There's a lot of providers of that technology. You can go online and buy that technology. So Emerge needs to add a value above and beyond what that technology is. That value is going to be in our people and the level of expertise and competency that our people have.
So what kind of ratio do you have of salespeople to technical employees?
That's interesting that you bring it up. Working in other organizations, it seems like there's a lot of salespeople and a few engineers, and that's actually opposite with Emerge. We have about 5 full-time salespeople in the Cincinnati office and roughly 30 engineers servicing and supporting customers. We have a couple down in Louisville as well.
Okay, good. And you guys have agreed to take some questions, so if anyone has a question, you can call in at 646-595-4916, and we can screen the calls during the commercial breaks. In the marketplace, what are you guys doing to grow your business? How are you finding new customers, or are you getting more business from your existing install base?
Certainly, it's a mixture of both those things. You know, we've had a great relationship with our customers and with many of the vendor partners that we work with. So we have a tremendous amount of referral business that comes to us from our partners and from our vendors. So that business alone allows us to grow because of the volume of it. Over and above that, we're certainly doing a fair amount of marketing in the Cincinnati and Louisville markets, making sure that we're getting our name out there. Making sure that we're staying in front of our existing customers and finding additional and new customers through that marketing. As we look at our existing customer base, we do several things to try to deepen what we're doing with those customers. Certainly, we take very good care of those customers. We spoke of the technical expertise that we provide to them that I'll say is second to none, and that keeps them loyal and keeps them wanting to do more with us on a long-term basis. But over and above that, we do many good events where we educate them on the technology and help them better understand what their opportunities are in the market to you know, work more efficiently and use technology within their business.
So you're doing educational seminars?
Yeah, absolutely. We hold roughly, I think last year, probably about 10 different events with the market. We invite our customers as well as prospective customers to those. You know, that could be based on a specific technology problem or a business issue that can be solved with technology, very much educational in nature and also very fun. We've had some great events that have allowed our customers, our vendors, and our employees to come together and have a good time.
But if you're not having fun, why do it?
There you go.
Good. We're going to take a commercial break. And again, the telephone number for call-ins are 646-595-4916.
This is Mike Roth, Cincinnati's most experienced Sandler trainer. If you're a salesperson or a company owner, my message is critical for you. Today, I want to talk to you about the real secret of getting out of debt. Earn more money. Most salespeople and owners want to sell more at a higher price with better margins, but don't know how. I've helped hundreds of people and companies grow over 30% per year by making an investment in themselves. Albert Einstein said, insanity is doing the same thing over and over and expecting a different result. I teach my clients new and different strategies, tactics, and behaviors that get dramatic results. I'm not for everyone. I'm tough, expensive, abrasive, and not politically correct. But if you want results, we need to talk. Call me at 513-646-6523. Give me your toughest questions. Then, if you qualify, I'll invite you in for a free meeting. 513-646-6523. This is Mike Roth, Cincinnati's most experienced Sandler trainer. Many salespeople tell us business was really easy. They likened it to gathering fruit in an orchard full of ripe trees. They gathered the low-hanging fruit. They had to get baskets to pick up the fruit that was already fallen. They never had to climb a tree. They worked this way for 10 or 15 years. Given the strong economy, this was no problem. What are you hearing now? The economy has slowed down. Salespeople are competing on price. There's still business now, but salespeople have to work harder. The fruit has not fallen from the tree, and there's no low-hanging fruit. The fruit is there, but it's higher up in the tree. The problem is, their salespeople have forgotten how to climb. Do your salespeople know how to climb? If you or your team needs to learn how to climb through and up out of tough economic times, call me, Mike Roth, at 513-646-6523, or check our website at rothconsulting.net.
This is Mike Roth. I'm back again with Jesse Kegley and Richard Brown of Emerge. Jesse, why don't you tell the folks in the audience how they can get a hold of you after the show?
Sure thing. Go out to our website, www.emergeits.com, or you can email me at jkegley@emergeits.com.
Guys, as we look out into 2013, what do you guys see as the obstacles in the path of companies that you serve?
I think for Emerge, you know, the opportunities is in our continued growth, and that's through finding good people and placing them in the appropriate positions where they're strong. I think that for a lot of organizations, especially professional service type organizations, you know, it's really going to come down to finding the right people to help sustain their business and grow their business.
In thinking about, you know, some of the companies that we serve, certainly as this economy is tough and everyone works every day to earn their way, you know, efficiency and productivity of their employees is key to what they're doing. And that's one of the things that we obviously help with the technology solutions we provide. So we feel like, you know, our customers being efficient in how they use their technology and making sure that they're making the best technology decisions within their business, whether it's around, you know, unified communications or data center or selecting the right cloud products and making sure that's right for their business are going to be the things that are key as we look at the coming year in 2013.
Mm-hmm. Now, are you guys having a banner month in December with the Section 179?
We have a lot of small and medium businesses that absolutely are taking advantage of that, and it is keeping us very busy right now. We're not complaining about it either.
That's good. You got to get everything installed and running by the end of the year to take that 179 deduction. Okay. Do you see any opportunities and possibilities in the marketplace that are dramatic for you in the next year?
I think for Emerge, the continued proliferation of cloud computing and just, you know, going back to that being a trusted advisor to the market, there are a lot of questions out there that people have as far as how do they leverage cloud computing to benefit their business or to save money or to find additional efficiencies in their operations. For us, that means a lot of opportunity. We know that the cloud is here. It is not going to go anywhere. And we're certainly focused on being able to enable our customers to make the right decisions for their business as it pertains to cloud.
You know, and over and above cloud, you know, we've always done a lot of consulting or professional service for our customers in this environment. And I believe even though the economy is tough, technology people who know technology and can really help our customers with their business are more and more hard to come by every day. And so, you know, we believe, number one, we take such a good approach and take good care of our employees that they're not going to go anywhere. We feel that gives us a competitive advantage in having those strong technology resources that we can apply to the small, medium business environment where they may have trouble retaining good technologists that can help them with their business.
On the inside, yeah. That only brings up a question that I asked Adrian Breen over at First Financial Bank, and the question to him was, how do you select a bank for a business? And for you guys, I'd like you to lay out how you think a medium-sized business should select an IT company, okay? And I don't think the right answer is, because I met the guy at a BNI networking meeting.
Sure.
I know I had been fooled here in town by a company that sent out one tech who knew my NT network years ago, and he was magic on the keyboard.
Certainly.
And then they sent out a whole series of people and charged me hours and hours for guys who barely knew how to turn on the computer. I eventually fired them. But how do you select an IT company?
So I think first, qualifications and competency. This technology can be very complex, okay? And it is absolutely paramount that the organization you're selecting has qualifications. They should have certified individuals in the manufacturer's technology that they're working with. They should obviously be able to show a proven track record, provide great references of being able to apply that skill and that knowledge and that competency to solve issues or implement solutions for the market. Ultimately, you know, the market hopefully is interested and sees the value in finding a partner, somebody that can take a moment to understand what their business is, what their objectives are, what their challenges are, and has a true interest in trying to solve those problems or partner with their organization long term to put a strategy together that benefits both parties in that arrangement.
Yeah, I think Jesse outlined it very well in that, you know, what he covered there. But that last piece is key. You know, it's about the relationship, you know, with that technology partner, and going beyond just treating them as someone you're buying stuff from or someone that you're ordering things through, but having a true relationship and being able to interact with them on a trusted advisory level, where they understand your business and you know they're in there with the interest of your best interest, not just selling you something. So I think those things are key, you know, to selecting the right technology partner.
So how do you find and evaluate technology partners? Because there are probably 50 companies in town that say they're technology partners, and some are going to be totally disqualified because they're not in the area of business that where you are. But how should a CEO select a technology company to partner with?
I think a big piece of that starts with other companies like your organization. You know, that CEO needs to look around, and hopefully they have a network of folks that they know and work with that have organizations similar to theirs. And they should interact with them and see what they're doing for technology, what partners are they using, and are they having success in what they're doing with those folks. And that just, you know, that comes from, you know, interacting and having that. We do a specific event quarterly. We do a CIO roundtable that allows the chief information officers of many of our companies and some folks that aren't companies or partners with us sit in and talk about technology as well as talk about the folks who are providing that technology. So I think a big piece of it is we talked kind of about references and just knowing other folks that have good experience with other technology organizations.
The CIO Roundtable has been an outstanding experience for us.
And how many times do you do that?
4 to 6.
And how many people typically show up?
Oh, we've had anywhere from 10 to 25 people. Typically, we'll find a nice restaurant able to accommodate that. I will facilitate that discussion, select a topic that is interesting to the CIOs that attend our roundtable, and really, as opposed to directing or presenting, it's more a facilitation of the CIOs with each other.
Mm-hmm.
And the premise here is if we can bring together these folks that have common issues, common problems to solve, or common objectives, and we can provide an environment or a platform for them to build some relationships with each other, then we're strengthening them. And that's a great example of how interested we are in building these relationships with the market. That's something that I don't think that you'll find out there very often.
No, I haven't heard of anyone else in your industry doing a CIO, Chief Information Officer, roundtable.
It takes time. It takes effort and energy. It is not directly associated with a specific opportunity, but is still very important to us that we can do things to enable our customers to be successful in their ventures.
Mm-hmm. That's good. What is the newest technology that people are asking you for? The hottest area.
Yeah, it's kind of like finding a specific area, because there's so much technology out there and so many new things that are just on the horizon or coming through, various environments. Certainly, the consumerization of the different devices, that are out there, and folks wanting to bring in, the employees of the companies wanting to bring in the devices they're familiar with. Everybody knows the ubiquitous iPad, right? And they want to bring that in and use that as a tool to do their job with every day.
Mm-hmm.
And so companies are very challenged with how do they allow their employees to be more productive but ensure the security of their data. And certainly there's a wide range of solutions around accomplishing that, and something that we've seen a lot of action, a lot of things going on around that recently.
So do you actually write applications for the cloud for an iPad?
So Emerge today does not do any development of applications.
Mm-hmm. How about security?
We implement the solutions that are out there. We are very aware of the different technologies that exist today and that are being developed. As a technology provider to the market, we absolutely have to be knowledgeable about the trends in our industry. To Richard's point, though, folks are going to bring in these devices on, and they're going to want to work with the devices, and an organization can either not allow that, or they can embrace their staff's desire to work more efficiently. That's definitely a hot topic right now, bring your own device.
Right. Okay, we're going to take another short commercial break here. We're going to listen to a Sandler Rule. We'll be right back after we listen to Sandler Rule number 47.
I'm Brad Massey with Sandler Training. I'm talking to you about rule number 47, selling is a Broadway play performed by a psychiatrist. What does that mean? Selling is a Broadway play. It's about a performance. It's about sometimes having to do things differently than we're comfortable doing. It's about making changes. Sometimes I need to speak with enthusiasm and excitement. Sometimes I need to speak more subtly and articulately, and I need to explain things deeper. Performance by a psychiatrist. What does psychiatry have to do with this rule? It means we have to have an understanding of human dynamics. Being a psychiatrist is about understanding human dynamics. It means we need to be able to manage the way we speak with people. Be an objective participant to the event when we talk to people. Keep our emotions under control. Be able to ask the appropriate questions in a manner that is not contingent on the outcome. In other words, sometimes if I really want to close business, I get emotionally involved, and what the other person is telling me has too much impact on me. I just need to understand that there's a process in how we go about interacting with people. And if I can say the right things, if I can ask the right questions, then I don't get emotionally involved with this opportunity. And the right thing always happens, yes or no.
This is Mike Roth. I'm back with Jesse Kegley and Richard Brown of The Merge. Guys, we have a theory of operation in business that simple solutions to complex problems, and certainly IT is a complex problem, simple solutions to complex problems are invariably wrong. Therefore, if you want to solve a complex problem, you need to have a complex solution. Maybe you could share with us a complex problem that you guys have run into, and you've solved it with a complex solution that we could share without revealing trade secrets that other people might be able to apply in their industries.
I think, you know, I'd like to speak in our own organization.
Sure, 50 people. You have a complex organization by definition.
So it's all about the people. Certainly, we know technology is complex and comprehensive. But as we have experienced the growth and the success at Emerge, we have this challenge and opportunity at the same time to make sure that our people are in the right positions. Specifically with technology, we need to make sure that we have great technical competency to provide to our customers. If that runs out, if we don't have the appropriate people that can deliver that service to our customer, then we can't grow. So for us internally, that's somewhat of a complex problem. What we have done about that is we've really tackled this in many angles. We have taken a focus and an investment into our company culture. That has absolutely paid off for us. It helps attract the market to Emerge. We kind of have a saying that our brand is our people, you know, so our people, that's what makes us different. That's what provides the value. We have training programs, career paths. We provide certification opportunities to our folks to help them maintain their technical competency and grow as the technology changes out there. And for us, it's very strategic in nature that we invest in our people and make sure that that they're appreciated, that they're taken care of, so that we retain them, and such we retain the knowledge of our customer environment, adding value to our customers, that we attract the market, and that we make sure that we ultimately end up with the best people to service the market.
Mm-hmm. So does that mean that you're actually looking for new people now?
Absolutely we are. Over the past year, I think we've hired about 10 individuals, and mm-hmm. I could see us hiring at least that into 2013.
Good. Okay. And just out of curiosity, when you guys pay for someone's training, do they give you back an agreement that they're not going to leave right away?
Yeah. I mean, we typically ask them to sign an agreement that if they leave within a short period of time, they're going to help us cover some of the costs of that training. It's only fair. And everyone, you know, everyone is usually on the right page. And the day that someone is concerned about signing that agreement is the day you're concerned about, you know, sending them to that training.
Right. They're halfway over the threshold and out the door. You mentioned that you guys are in cloud computing today. That term itself didn't exist 5 years ago. People were talking about ASPs, and today everyone wants to be in the cloud. Are you actually providers of the underlying computers? How does that work?
Sure. So Emerge does own and operate data center infrastructure, which in turn we provide as cloud services to the market. So we own those hard assets, that hardware and that software, and the operational management of that data center infrastructure. And we do provide cloud services in the form of disaster recovery. So organizations that have technology and they, for example, do not have a second data center, they can replicate to our cloud, and we can become their second data center. That's a fantastic solution that has not been available at an operational expenditure.
So is that actually in your data center, or is it in you renting space at some other public data center?
So it is Emerge infrastructure, which we own, mm-hmm. and then we do leverage a couple of telecommunication providers as far as facilities and data transport to.
So how many locations do you actually have cloud assets in?
We have assets in two locations, two data centers, Westchester, Ohio, and Erlanger, Kentucky.
Okay.
And when you talk about, you know, whether or not you own the data center, really it's a decision around what is our primary business. Our primary business is providing technology solutions to our customers, not trying to manage a generator, an HVAC environment, you know, UPSs, and keep the lights on in a large building full of computers.
Right, right. Either of you guys know Mark Ross, or you listened to Mark Ross's show that I did a couple of weeks ago?
I do not.
No.
He's an IT professional from P&G who's gone out of his own, and his big thing in the cloud is not the backup, but the restoration.
Sure.
The restoration process itself should, in fact, your data center go flat.
Right, which comes around we'll call it the business continuity piece, the piece of making sure that when that goes down, you can keep your business moving.
I'm probably not quoting him correctly, but he said, you know, backup is good, but it's worthless unless you can actually restore.
Correct.
Yeah, it's the idea of making sure that what you're doing in your backup plan, you know, is something that you can actually execute on. And we work with many of our organizations that we help them test their restore plan a couple times, usually once a year. And we'll take their entire environment and restore it in a virtual manner and bring up their applications and make sure that their business could run on the restored environment as opposed to their traditional production environment, which in a disaster may have been destroyed.
Okay, so you're actually doing a virtual test of the real backup.
Exactly, exactly.
So you're doing a recreation in the event like they had with Hurricane Sandy in New York, where the real hardware is out in the ocean someplace.
You got it.
Or underwater.
We take that data and bring it back to life.
The proof's in the pudding, Mike.
Well, I hope we don't have to have any proof of it here. It just looked really bad. I have some children out there on Long Island who were out of electricity for 2 weeks, you know. Really bad.
No fun.
No. And from an IT perspective, an absolute dead stop.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
How do you process invoices? How do you ship?
Sure.
Big problems. Okay. You guys do a lot of work in the voice over IP world. What lines of equipment do you typically recommend?
Sure. And, you know, voice over IP is kind of that term that like cloud over the years has changed and grown and means a lot of different things to different people. Today we largely, you know, we refer to it as unified communications, which covers obviously voice, but it's also going to cover video. It's also going to cover, we'll call it presence technologies, and it's going to allow that integration of all those things together so that your business can be the most efficient with the communications technologies. You know, the lines and the things that we work with, we're a very deep partner with Cisco Systems. So Cisco solutions are something we're very familiar with, and we think they are best of breed when it comes to what we provide to our customers around Cisco.
So some of our clients and our listeners won't know what presence means. Why don't you tell them?
Right, yeah, and that goes down to all the fun terms in the technology industry, and everybody kind of just throws them around without thinking about what those outside the technology industry may know or not know of those terms. But presence technology really comes down to the ability for you or your employees to understand what your status is, whether you're available, whether you're on the phone, whether you're in a meeting, whether you're out sick for the day, whatever those things may be. And then it also ties that back to an instant messaging type client where, you know, you can message someone who may be in a meeting and still be able to interact and get the answer to your question and better, you know, be more efficient, serve your customers better in the end.
Mm-hmm. And you said you were integrating video with voice. What exactly did you mean by that?
Well, certainly, you know, traditional video conferencing, many people get scared by it because it was complex. Over the years, using video conferencing was very complex. And so people have in many cases, given up on it or said, wow, that's too hard because I have to have the IT guy on standby every time I want to do a video conference. You know,
mm-hmm.
And people, especially the executives in an organization, don't want to deal with that. They just want it to work. And so, you know, Cisco has brought to the table several new technologies that simplify video, make it much more immersive, which means that, you know, as opposed to traditional video where you may see someone on a TV screen and they seem very distant, the quality may not be there, voice and video may not be synced up very well. The things that Cisco has brought to the table allow that experience to be much more, you know, immersive in what you're doing, where it's high definition video, the technology is set up right, it's very easy to start and end calls. You can integrate them with your typical messaging, you know, and scheduling programs that you may use on your PC or Mac.
Sounds
today.
Expensive.
Well, you know, you got to look at the efficiencies you gain by it. So it's not just the idea or the simple look at, you know, how expensive is the solution. But if I don't have to fly to, you know, the West Coast three times, you know, a month, I've saved a lot of money in just doing that, and I can have an immersive, you know, video conference with you. We're able to get business done without the time of travel and without the cost of travel wrapped around it.
I think there's also opportunity in training. We're finding a lot of customers utilizing video technology to record training sessions or train their staff that might be in branch offices or remote locations. Additionally, you know, from a product presentation in a manufacturing type setting, you may want to present a product that might not be in that manufacturing facility. With having high definition video capabilities, you can now present that product and interact with that product over long distances via video.
Yeah, well, Sandler's in the third generation of our video training technology. That's called Sandler Online today. But still, the video is a really small percentage of the screen at real estate. And frankly, we struggle with it here. We have clients in West Virginia that we'd like to teleconference into a regular training class because it's better to do that than have them drive for 3 hours to get here.
Exactly. So you know the woes around travel and trying to get people from point A to point B.
Yeah, it's difficult. And the other side of the coin is, we have to come up with a solution that is technically feasible at a reasonable cost, and it's got to be technical feasible for a guy working in his office in West Virginia or working out of his home in a different city in West Virginia.
Yeah, and that's where it comes back to different levels of technology, too. You know, that guy working in his home office in West Virginia isn't going to apply the same technology that you would have in an executive boardroom in a large organization. So really just understanding the solution and scaling it to what the environment, you know, is appropriate for that.
Right, and we've tried the Skype solution and been marginally successful and marginally unsuccessful.
And so we certainly try to help our customers understand and draw a line between what we'll consider an enterprise class solution and what we consider a small office or even a home, you know, use solution. And Skype really falls down to that lower level of a small or home use solution. You're not going to get the same level of quality or usability out of the solution. But for starters and for trials, it can be a good place to start at.
Yeah, we've tried several different things here at Sandler. And, mm-hmm.
Come on out to the office.
Not,
we'll show you a few things.
You'll have to show me a few things. I'll have to get out there. Okay, we're going to take another short commercial break. And if you do have a question for Jesse or Rob, the number is 646-595-4916. When you hear about a typical sales training program, does it usually involve a 1 or 2 day seminar where some alleged guru passes down what he claims are the secrets to making sales? At Roth & Associates, I'm the most experienced Sandler sales trainer in Cincinnati. We recognize that truisms and motivating speeches aren't enough to arm sales teams with the tools they need for success. Sales is a hard business. Typical sales training can only provide typical and disappointing results. At Roth & Associates, we use the Sandler methodology of continual reinforcement and ongoing training seminars along with individual coaching to ensure victory in the world of sales. We've been doing it here in Cincinnati for over 15 years. You won't fail because I won't let you. Roth & Associates, 513-646-6523. 513-646-6523. On the web at rothconsulting.net. Finding power in reinforcement. This message is short and to the point. In business, you don't get paid for what you know, you get paid for what you sell. Yet many salespeople leave their skills to chance. They often think, let me think it over. They write proposals that go nowhere. They lower their price to get the order. They wind up chasing prospects through the voicemail maze. It doesn't have to be that way. The best salespeople were not born great. They learned it. I'm Mike Roth of Roth & Associates. We're famous for our expensive, difficult sales training. We're not for everyone. We build the best sales prospectors and sales negotiators on the planet. Are you in sales? Are you ready to get deadly serious about your career that feeds your family? Are you ready to make a change? Call me, Mike Roth, at 513-646-6523. Sandler's most experienced trainer in Cincinnati. 646-6523. This is Mike Roth. I'm back with Jesse Kegley and Richard Brown. Okay, before we run out of time, I want to make sure I squeeze this one question, and I'd like to pose it to company leaders like you guys. If each of you could give our listeners just one leadership tip about running a company, what would that leadership tip be?
I think we've kind of already kind of alluded to it a little bit in the discussions we've had, but we feel like the people are just key to the success of our organization and our continued success. So, our simple tip there is take care of your people, put together a culture that really rewards them for growth and shows them how important they are to the organization.
I would say for mine, speaking from personal experience, is making sure that you're enabling the people that work for you to be successful. It's very easy to expect certain things, expect certain performance parameters, and not make sure that they're enabled to meet those. And that's not really fair. That results in everything that would have an employee be wanting to look elsewhere. So absolutely make sure that your folks are enabled to be successful and enabled to meet the marks that you set out in front of them to meet.
So exactly what do you mean by that? Do you enable your employees to make financial commitments for the company?
What I mean by that is for example, if I have a sales team, I manage a sales team, and I have revenue goals for them to attain, I need to make sure that myself, their manager, is doing everything possible to help them get to those goals. If I'm not there helping them along the way, moving obstacles that are in front of them, then I don't feel like I'm being a really good manager for them. And I think all of us at Emerge take that same stance with our folks. We want them to be successful. We don't just expect it. We want them to be successful, and we help them along the way.
So you have an open-door management policy?
Absolutely, all the time.
That's good. We worked with another company, and they took it one step further. The two owners of the company sat in the same bullpen as all of the employees. Someone had a problem, right up at his desk. It was an interesting thing to watch.
Sure.
Let's change gears a little bit, talk about the technology you use. Everyone's using the Internet for marketing. Richard, you mentioned marketing. How are you guys using the Internet for marketing?
So for us, we're actually in the middle of transitioning and incorporating some new process, procedure, and technology. We're revamping our web presence, social media channels, and putting a lot of time and attention in that, starting to really look at the business intelligence, the analytics that come out of that technology to make the best decisions for us. For example, we need to understand where people are going on our website. We have a new website getting ready to launch here in about a week, and there's a ton of updated content on that. And I'm really looking forward to seeing how long are people spending on, a cloud site or a video teleconference page or whatnot in our website. So being able to look at the analytics behind that can really help us make decisions as far as what steps we're going to take and what direction we're going to take in additional marketing efforts.
Mm-hmm. Are you actually capturing your CIO meetings and the content of that and making that available later through your website?
We're not doing that today. That's what I would say kind of a protected environment. CIOs are kind of sharing their challenges, their objectives, and folks are sharing what they've done to address similar issues. But, you know, certainly we see opportunity in the future to take content from our lunch and learns or from educational type seminars and put that information out there to the web and then drive people through social media channels to that information.
You're not doing lunch and learns, are you?
We are doing lunch and learns.
Oh, I'll strongly suggest don't use that name.
Well, you used it, so I was just following up on that.
Yeah.
But yes.
Sandler, a few years ago, was using that name across the country in 300 training centers. And we got a cease and desist letter from a company that said we own the name, the trademark on Lunch and Learn.
Is that right?
So we had to change what we call our lunchtime educational seminar.
That's crazy.
Hey, intellectual property. You can't argue with it. Sandler has intellectual property that we want to protect, and
sure.
We'll certainly honor other people's intellectual property. In your business, what do you see as the greatest growth area in the next 12, 18 months?
You know, I think we've talked a little bit about the opportunities around cloud, and we think that extends, you know, into some of the things happening in the data center too for the enterprise, where we just see the growth of.
So that's the first question then. Do you see the growth in your world as enterprise growth or smaller business growth?
Yes. Yeah. Right. So you know, we certainly work with customers in both areas of
mm-hmm.
business, and from a small medium business standpoint, we feel the cloud is absolutely critical to the growth of that part of the business, because we see the small medium businesses moving so many of their systems and their applications into today's cloud, and that's a huge growth area for us as a business, is to ensure that we're enabling those businesses to move their business environment, their technology environment into the cloud, as well as ensuring that we continue to support them in their new cloud arrangements, whether that be with us or with other organizations.
Let me ask you kind of a personal question here. In our business, we've always maintained our own servers. We have a small business server 2008, and I don't know, three or four other virtual servers around the network, one employee working off-premise, two employees working off-premise now that I think about it. Should we upgrade our server to 2012, the new latest and greatest from Microsoft, or should I just throw my hands up in the air and say, man, I don't want to be in the IT business, I'm in the sales training business, and throw it to someone in the cloud?
Yeah, I think you said it best. You know, technology, although a great enabler to organizations, can be a distraction at times, especially in the small and medium-sized business.
It's a non-productive activity for me.
You know, it is. And managed services also kind of plays into here with cloud. You know, it is not just the fact that Emerge, a cloud provider, owns that infrastructure and maintains and operates it, but we, you know, we provide that consulting around what really is that cloud going to offer you. At the end of the day, you need access to your applications and your data, and that's really what matters for you to be able to get your job done. And that's really what we're providing out there through people and technology. Managed services, I think, is also going to continue to grow in the SMB and mid-market space. We are growing our team of experts. And
so when you say managed services,
sure.
Why don't we take that onto the magnifying glass and tell us exactly what you mean by that?
IT outsourcing for a small business, or taking a component of the IT department in a mid-sized organization and having a provider really manage that for them. For a small business such as yourself or such as an organization that might have one or two guys, they certainly can cater to the end users and provide that service internally. When it comes to complex technical issues and the advisory piece, we have a lot of value to bring to the table there. And there's just opportunity for efficiency and cost savings and partnering with a managed service provider. At the same time, in the mid-market, you know, there might be a specific technology, whether it be security or voice over IP that or virtualization, that organization would have to invest large dollars into having the resource, that technical person come in to manage that. Not to mention the challenge of organizations that, you know, invest in technology refresh every 3 or 4 years. If you have a technical person on staff managing that, are they going to get bored with their job? If they're a technologist and they love technology and they're passionate about it, yes, they're going to get bored.
I could think, I'm just thinking a guy at Rotary.
We've actually had many staff members today that came from that environment, and we provide an environment where they get to work with new technology every day. They're just happier people doing that, and ultimately that results in better service to the customer.
I'll have to give you a lead on that.
Thank you.
That was a good answer. Let me change subjects again and talk a little bit about voice over IP. I saw a demo recently that I didn't like, and it was through a voice over IP system. Guy had two telephones, the voice over IP system in the middle, and they were both in the same room. And when you said hello into one telephone, it was a quarter of a second delay before it got to the second telephone. What do you think of that? Is that normal in voice over IP?
Well, certainly not. You know, that's a matter of technology and technology demos and just not having things that are properly configured or managed correctly. And that's what, you know, one of the keys that goes back to. We talk a little bit about managed service. We talk a little bit about the cloud. And all those things, you know, we are experts with the technology. We do it every day. Just like somebody in a financial organization is expert with numbers, with finance.
Mm-hmm.
So knowing that we do that every day, we're able to make sure that technology works correctly when you're using it, and ensure that, you know, when you count to 10, it doesn't take you 30 seconds because you have to wait 2 seconds every time, you know, someone says 1, 2. So that is certainly not normal for voice over IP technology, nor is it something that you would expect out of a solution like that.
I guess I was surprised when I saw that demonstration. I went, oh, my God.
Well,
we're back to 1970 with satellite delay.
What technology?
Yeah.
What's that? Jesse?
What technology were you looking at?
It was a PC-based voice over IP system.
Right, and therein lies your problem, that you're looking at something that may not be designed for we'll call it prime time.
Mm-hmm.
It may not be a top level solution. It's something that was developed and someone said, look how cheap we can do this, not look how well we can make it work for your business.
Right.
And there's certainly a difference between the two, and that's the key with just making sure the solutions that you're selecting are good solutions, not ones that are made up in some way.
Right. That didn't seem prime time, ready for prime time for me. Guys, I really want to thank you for coming out and being with us here today. And I'm going to give each one of you a Sandler book, and you can have your choice of the first book, Can't Teach a Kid to Ride a Bike at a Seminar, the second book, The 49 Sandler Rules, or the third book, The 11 Sandler Principles, and we'll give you an invitation to come into one of our seminars so you can experience Sandler for yourselves.
Great, Mike. Thank you. Thank you very much.
Thanks again for coming.
Thank you very much, Mike.
Good. And Scott, why don't you take it away?
Thanks for listening. If you have questions or comments, contact Mike at mikeroth@rothconsulting.net or call Mike at 513-753-9400.